Chapter 16. May 9th of year 19. Adam. Adam briefly shuts his eyes. He can't believe what he just read, yet there's no mistaking what the sentence is. "Wonderful," he types on the small screen of the universal device. "How can I help you?" "Need energy." Adam checks the status of his suit. He can give Marchenko a few watt hours, but he had better wait with that until he's on dry ground. "Taking you into building," he types. "Thanks." He removes all cables and lifts the sad remnant of Marchenko's body. Even underwater, it is amazingly heavy. He hopes he can still swim while carrying it. He aims his helmet lamp upward. After about 10 meters, the water swallows the beam of light, so it must be at least 15 meters to the entrance. He can only use his legs to propel them up there. He holds on to Marchenko and pushes off. Flippers on his feet would be practical, but the suit was designed for the conditions on the ice, not in water. Adam moves his legs as fast as he can. The kicking movements slowly carry him upwards. He stops briefly, but immediately begins to descend. He can only rest once he has arrived. After 5 meters, he sees a jagged edge. It can't have been developed naturally. Perhaps Marchenko knows what happened here. He will ask him later, when he is recharging. Adam is breathing heavily. The added weight pulls on him and tries to drag him into the depth. He does not give up. The inside of his helmet visor fogs up, but he can still see his destination. Another 2 meters or so and he will be there. He should have held Marchenko a different way. His hands hurt. Damn, now the thing is starting to slide. Adam stops Marchenko's body with his knee, but then he can't kick anymore. He sinks 1 meter, then 2. With a great deal of effort, he manages to change his grip. Better. Now it is not sliding anymore. He kicks his legs with all his strength and manages to lift Marchenko. Here comes the edge. He jerks the heavy body upward. He manages to place one end over the building's exterior wall. Now he just has to push to get Marchenko to safety for the time being. While keeping in position by kicking with both legs, he pushes with both hands. Finally, the thing slides onto the edge. Shit, he just smashed his left wrist with full force against the sharp edge. His suit is torn at that spot, and he feels a stabbing pain. He sees blood seeping into the water. He slides slightly to the side and cautiously pulls himself up on the ledge. He sits down and takes a deep breath. He's still not quite made it. Adam shines his helmet lamp at his surroundings. 1.5 meters to his right, he sees a corridor. Is this their way out? He definitely has to check the water surface, as there might be a more comfortable exit there. Adam sighs, gets up, and swims to the top. Without the weight of Marchenko, this presents no problem, even with his wrist hurting. He emerges in a spherical hall. It is filled with breathable air, according to the universal device on his arm. But there's no exit. He only sees a few openings high up, which he cannot reach. He has probably ended up in the garbage dump of this building. How did Marchenko get here? And what caused his current state? This is going to be an interesting conversation. He slowly slides back down again. Where is Marchenko? No, he is there on the left and has not moved. Adam's heart is beating faster. He must not lose Marchenko again. He carefully lifts the heavy object. The corridor starts at this height, so he can now walk. While the weight pulls down on his arms, it helps him walk, as his feet get better traction on the surface. The corridor leads slightly upward. While it is not a difficult path in itself, Adam has to take a break now and then due to carrying Marchenko in his arms. After a while, the corridor becomes steeper, and Adam needs more frequent breaks. Twice he even slides backwards a bit. He deactivated the suit heater a long time ago, not just because he is sweating, but due to the gradually increasing water temperature. Is this the discharge pipe of a cooling mechanism? He hopes the water won't get too hot. He would really like to take off his suit completely, to get rid of its weight, but he needs the air to breathe. Finally, the pipe becomes horizontal. I should soon find an exit, he thinks. Then, just at the right moment, he notices light shining from above. The source is a rectangular opening in the top of the pipe. Adam takes a closer look and notices that a plate attached with screws must once have been located there. Somebody unfastened it and pushed the metal plate outside. That could only have been Marchenko, too. It is too early for an encounter, though. His own Marchenko is not nearly ready for action, and Adam alone would stand no chance against the crazy AI in the robot body. He puts Marchenko's body down. Then Adam cautiously approaches the opening. He emerges from the water slowly to keep from splashing, places his healthy hand quietly against the edge of the opening in the pipe, and pulls himself up just far enough so he can peek over it. This room is empty, except for the pipe. It is brightly lit by the side walls. And here is the most important thing. They are alone. Very good. He bends down and picks up Marchenko. Now comes the tricky part. He has to lift the massive object without the buoyancy provided by the water and get it up and through the opening. He won't be able to hold on to it and climb out himself at the same time. The pipe runs at the height of about 1.5 meters above the floor of the room. Before Adam can get himself out, he will have to drop Marchenko from the pipe to the floor. Will the remnant of Marchenko's body be able to withstand that without incurring further defects? He cannot even ask him or warn him without once again connecting his universal device to Marchenko. He will just have to risk it. Adam takes a deep breath. Then he jerks the heavy body upward, lifts it through the air to the edge of the opening in the pipe, pushes it out, and lets it go. He watches Marchenko fall down. It makes a resonant thud, and the echo hurts his ears. Adam looks at his left wrist, which is still bleeding. He must have left a trail of blood. He tries to pull his own body up to the edge of the opening in the pipe, yet his right hand alone is too weak, and he cannot use his left as usual. Luckily, he remembers his suit. He no longer needs it now. He takes it off, which takes a bit longer using just one hand, and throws it down to the floor in pieces. When the helmet hits, he hears a nasty cracking sound. That must be the visor. Without it, he won't be leaving this building the same way he entered. Later on, though, Marchenko should be able to create a whole new helmet for him. He feels considerably lighter now, as he is just wearing his thermal underwear. And he's right. At this reduced weight, he only needs a little assistance from his left hand to support himself on the pipe as he swings his legs outward and gently slides down. He lands on both feet. His right knee feels a sharp stab of pain. The pipe must have been higher than he estimated. He stretches and shakes his legs. At least he feels no serious injuries. Just for the sake of order, he gathers the parts of his suit. The helmet can no longer be saved, so he might as well leave it here, but he can use the rest. He pushes Marchenko's body toward the wall. Then he sits down next to it, activates the universal device, connects the cables just as before, and transfers the rest of the energy stored in his suit to Marchenko. Soon he will be able to talk to his old friend again. He's already looking forward to it. First, he has to get some shut-eye. At least half an hour.